focus on the Matthew 24:14 verse. So if you turn your attention to the screen, would you read that with me this morning? And this gospel of the kingdom will be proclaimed throughout the whole world as a testimony to all nations, and then the end will come.
Mateo 24, versículo 14. Estas buenas nuevas del reino de Dios serán predicadas en toda la tierra y dichas a todas las naciones, y entonces vendrá el fin.
这天国的福音要传遍天下，向万民做见证，然后结局才来到。
Pagbasa mula sa libro ng Mateo, 24 na kapitulo, 14 na bersikulo. Ang ebanghelyo ng paghahari ng Diyos ay ipapangaral muna sa buong daigdig upang maging patotoo sa lahat ng mga bansa. Pagkatapos ay darating na ang wakas.
I read the verse in Tamil language. Mateo 24:14, Rajyathinudaiya indha suvisesham bhoolokangumulla sahala jaadigalukkum saatchiyaga prasangikkappadum appozhu mudivu varum.
Whatever language you understand, it doesn't change the fact that Matthew 24:14 is the truth. It's for all peoples and all nations. And the gospel is going to be proclaimed. And then the end's going to come. Whether that's in Asia, whether that's in India, whether that's in Puerto Rico, or whether that's in the Philippines, or right here in the United States. Would you help me to thank these who've come and to share in their native language? And I'm learning who is in our congregation and how God's at work. And just this morning, I knew that Rita was going to be articulating that verse in her native language of Filipino, and found out that her husband Bing actually is in the Philippines right now. He's been there since May the 15th, and Rita told me this morning some really good news that there's been about 20 people that he's had the opportunity to help lead to Christ since he's been there and is there right now. And some of those are family members. And so I think it would be so appropriate if we would just pause right now and as a church family pray that God continues to use Bing and to use his presence in the Philippines right now. Would you pray with me? Lord, thank you so much for the way that you are just faithful to your word and you tell us that you're always at work. And I thank you that Bing is in the Philippines right now, that he is being able to share the gospel and to live the gospel and to proclaim the gospel both in word and in deed. And Lord, he is fulfilling your great commission and he's doing his part. And so, Lord, as he's away from our church, as he's away from Rita, would you just bless him and bless them, bless their marriage, their household, give him protection and wisdom and strength and all the things that he needs to continue being who you want him to be and doing the work that you want him to do today and in the days that come in the Philippines. We love you, Lord. It's in your holy name we pray. Amen. Rita, thank you so much for sharing with us this morning. The text, if you haven't gotten it yet, is going to be some words that Jesus spoke, and it's recorded right in Matthew 24, verse 14. If you have your Bible, I encourage you to take it and open it to Matthew 24. If you're using the Bible in the pew in front of us, it's going to be on page 829. And all throughout God's Word, we see the story of our great God deeply, deeply, deeply in love, not only with his creation, but in love with the people that he's created. He loves the world, he loves his church, and he longs for his church to love the world that he created and the peoples all over this world that he created. He loves every single person on this planet. It's the heart of a father who just beats for his kids. He loves the whole world. He loves people so much that he gave his one and only son, whose name was Jesus, as a means for salvation to save the whole world from its sins. It's the story of the gospel. And we've been talking over the last several weeks throughout this summer about the gospel, about what the gospel means, about what first century people understood the term of gospel and what that means. And we've been looking at a couple of definitions from a theologian named N.T. Wright, one of my favorite ones. And this is kind of how he summarizes the gospel. It's the news of God's long-awaited victory over evil and rescue of His people. That's why Jesus came, to rescue people from sin, death, Satan, and hell. And a first century Roman person, it was a term that was used to announce, gospel was a term that would announce an accession or a birthday of a new ruler. We've kind of talked about how at Christmas time we celebrate Jesus, the newborn king, ruler, the one who's stepping into that place of leadership. And He came here from heaven and earth to rescue us. And as followers of Jesus, we've been given the responsibility, we've been given the privilege to share this gospel message with the whole world. It's what all these flags back here represent, up the side and across the back. Had some people in the first service came and said, "Where's Honduras? I'm from Honduras. We're working on Honduras. We didn't have a Honduras flag on it. Where's Cuba? I'm from Cuba." We have people from all over the world who are coming through the doors here at Arapahoe Road. Do you know that? We do. That's a good thing, by the way. That's a real good thing. And so, man, we're learning constantly about the people that God's bringing through our doors. And this responsibility that we as followers of Christ have to share the gospel with people to the ends of the earth, to share with the whole world that Jesus is the King of Kings, who was born of a virgin, who lived a sinless life, who died on a Roman cross as an atonement sacrifice for the sins of the whole world, who really did die and then was laid in a tomb for dead. And 3 days later, He came back to life. He arose from the dead, according to the scriptures. And after walking with His followers and commissioning His followers with this work, He ascended to the right hand of the Father, which is where He is at today. Not to leave us here alone. He didn't just pitch us the keys to this car and say, "Drive on, friends. Hope you don't wreck it." No, He said, "I must go away so that I can send the Helper who will empower you, who will live inside of you, the Holy Spirit." And since about Acts chapter 2, every person who's put their faith, hope, and trust in Jesus, all who've called on the name of the Lord, the Holy Spirit has taken up residence and continues to take up residence in followers of Jesus and empowers them and leads them and guides them on this great commission life that the Lord Jesus left us with. He says, "I'm going away, but I'm with you always, even to the ends of the earth." And the way that He's with us is by His Holy Spirit who lives inside of us. And He says, "Man, you need to take this message of redemption and rescue to everybody. Everybody needs to hear this. Everybody needs to experience the gospel message, the whole world." And as Jesus tells us what's going to happen over in Matthew 24, 14, can we just look at it again? Because it is the critical verse for our time this morning. And Jesus says, and this gospel of the kingdom will be proclaimed throughout the whole world as a testimony to all the nations. And then the end will come. So some of you are kind of like me, and you kind of watch Discovery Channel, a little History Channel, maybe watch those little specials every now and then, like those people from years gone by that have said, "Here's when the end of the world's going to come." You ever seen any of those? And you ask that question, "I wonder when the end of the world's going to come." Jesus just told us right here. He didn't tell us how it's all going to pan out necessarily. He just said, "Here's when it's going to happen." After everybody gets to hear, then the end will come. After everybody gets to hear, then the end will come. You know, one of the things I really, really love about Arapaho Road is that this church, the more I get to know you, this church has a heart that beats for the whole world. It certainly has a heart that beats for our community and where we live, but it's got a heart that beats for the whole world. And last month, this verse really gripped a hold of me. It got its hooks in me. I couldn't get past it. I've been thinking about it, praying about it, about this gospel of the kingdom that's going to be proclaimed to all the nations, and then the end's going to come. And it caused me, as I'm sitting there in my study, kind of praying through this, thinking through this, wrestling with this verse, and it caused me just to ask this question: how much of the world is being affected personally with the gospel by people from Arapaho Road? Okay, now let me kind of unpack what I'm meaning by being affected personally. It's this: when I talk about being affected personally, I'm talking about people from Arapaho Road who are engaged in somebody else's life, whether that's going to another nation, okay, or you are engaged in somebody's life right here in our community that's from another nation that now lives here or that's at work here or whatever. Okay, so it goes beyond writing a check and putting that in the offering plate so that somebody else can go. That is an important part of the whole strategy. Okay, I'm not knocking that. I'm not really talking about that. I am always for cooperative missions. Okay, hear me say that. But I'm talking about who and how many from Arapaho Road aren't just writing checks. They're engaging their life in somebody else that lives in another country or that's from another country. And I just began to wonder that. And we began to kind of map that out. And we put it on this map here. I think it'll be on the screen. It's also on the front of your bulletin. And you can just see, wow, there's a lot of places here. There's a lot of nations here, a lot of countries here. This was created about a month ago, so it's already out of date. Okay? We need to put Honduras, we need to put Cuba, we need to put the Philippines on here. Sandy's over here just kind of making a note, because Sandy does an incredible job of keeping all this up to speed. So we're going to continue to figure out how short we really were on this. But this is a month ago, and I just kind of started asking the question, and here we go. But man, there's a lot of red on here, and I'm colorblind, but I can see that. I'm kind of going, wow, that's a lot of places. Man, that's a whole lot of places. Over 30 nations, over 30 people groups. And we're just now kind of beginning to get our minds around it. I am, of how much of the world is being affected personally with the gospel by people from Arapaho Road. And I want to just talk to you about it. I want you to hear from some of these people. I've asked a few friends who are going to be serving somewhere this summer around the world to come and just to share a little bit of their story. So if you're one of those people who are going to share a little bit, would you come on up? I want to just interview you, kind of like we did in the first hour, and ask you to share a little bit about where you're going. I think one of our students is not back in yet, so we'll hope that Megan gets here in a moment. If not, then we'll tell you where she's going. But these are just a few folks that are coming to share with you. This is Diane Frazier, and Diane, tell us, where is it that you're going to be going this summer, and when are you going? What are you going to do? All that good stuff.
Okay, I leave July 3rd for Kenya. This is my sixth year to go. I'm going for 5 weeks. While I'm there, I'll be working in one of the second largest slum areas in Africa, Cabrera. I work in a preschool there. I train teachers and work with the children. I also bring the gospel into their lessons, so when I leave that they know how to present the gospel to children along with the education they're getting. I train teachers at a model school there in Nairobi. I go to two orphanages, one that has 50 children, one that has 120, and then I go also up to a displacement camp, which is something else.
Wow. And you've been to Kenya how many times? This
is my sixth time.
Sixth time to do it. And so you're training teachers over there. You're in the educational system over there.
Yes.
And what do you do here as your profession?
I'm a teacher at Hickman Elementary.
Isn't that kind of interesting? Help me thank Diane. Isn't it interesting that God has led and continues to lead her to do somewhere else what she does right here? To use her profession as an avenue for mission. To use the training and the skill set and the passion that she does all year long when school's in session around the corner, to then be able to leverage that for the gospel somewhere else. So let's just play this out. What do you do? How might God want you to be a missionary in that field? Whether it's a CPA or a lawyer or a doctor or a stay-at-home mom or a dentist, God has you in that place with those skill sets in that profession. Not just so that you can make a living, but that so you can help the Great Commission be a reality. Diane, thank you. And this is Mike. Isn't it? Mike is going somewhere. And you've got this really cool t-shirt on that Mike Motley, who was leading worship, had on. What's up with the t-shirt? And then where are you going?
Our t-shirt on the front says Bararona. And we're going, 13 of us from our church are going to, leaving, I think, July 4th and be gone for about a week, going through Bararona, Dominican Republic. And myself and two or three others will be working on construction, laying a foundation for a forthcoming building. The ladies will be doing ladies Bible studies. There'll be some of us doing prayer walking. The young adults and teenagers from our church are going to be working with the children and the teenagers of the church there. And we have an opportunity to go to two of the universities there to help with English as a second language. And we'll be busy. And I'm thinking the reason we go is to help out Pastor Franklin down there, help build up the local church.
Great. And you've been there about how many times?
This will be the 13th year.
Wow.
In Dominican Republic.
That's great. Would you help me to thank Mike? Yeah. So you've got an individual headed out. You've got a team from Arapaho Road that's doing more of a family mission trip. You've got all ages going there, heading to the Dominican Republic. And then we have Peyton Runnels, and Peyton is not going for 5 weeks like Diane, or 1 or 1.5 weeks like Mike and this team. You're going to 11 countries over the next 11 months.
Right.
What is up with that?
Well, I leave July 3rd, so next week will be my last week for a while. I'm going with an organization called the World Race, 11 months, 11 countries mission trip. I guess I'll say where I'm going. I had to write it down because there's so many countries. Ireland, Ukraine, Russia, Kenya, Tanzania, Mozambique, India, Nepal, Cambodia, Challenge Asia, and Malaysia. And Challenge Asia is where my squad of 55 will get together and start praying about where we're called to go in Asia, and I'm praying for Thailand. So, the World Race puts us in a raw community and a raw just environment for us to just fully rely on God for we have to completely trust Him in what we're doing, because we're we're living through a backpack, and I'm going to be living in a tent and on a sleeping bag for 11 months, so I don't get to stay in nice hotels and don't get good food, and we'll see what happens. Yeah. I will be working in orphanages, working and living in orphanages. I'll be working with widows. I will be working with children who have been rescued from human trafficking. I will be building things. I will be doing a lot of stuff that I don't even know about. So, yeah.
Why are you doing this?
I ask myself that question every day. I'm doing this because this is what God has called me to do. I don't know the real reason why I'm going. He has called me to do this, and I denied it for four or five months, and I'm finally answering. So,
yeah. Would you help me to thank Peyton just for sharing a little bit? The last stool down here that's empty right now, one of our students, Megan Bankhead, shared in the first hour, and she is a part of our team from the student ministry that's going to San Francisco. And going, San Francisco, that's not another nation. Maybe. There's a specific people group that our teenagers are going in July to serve with and to minister to. It's Afghani refugee communities. And so Megan and her team will be there. And I know there's others that are going other places that I've since found out about. And we just want to say, great job. Know that we're praying for you. And we don't want to just say that, but I want to invite you to do that with me right now. And not only are there people going to different places, there are people right here that are serving others from other nations that live in our community. Our English as a Second Language ministry, which actually had another seat that was planning on being occupied by David Fay, and he was planning on doing that, and then a little something called a kid happened. David and Nikki had their first child. And he said, I think I need to back out of that. And so I said, I think you're already becoming a wise father. and so, man, just know that we've got over 15 nations that are coming into our church to learn English and subsequently are building relationships with those folks for the purpose of the gospel. And so whether it's on the other side of the world where we're going or whether the other side of the world is coming into our community, we need to pray. And so I would invite you to pray with me right now. If there are members who are going on the team down to the Dominican, if you're in here, and you're in here, would you mind just standing so we can just see you and pray for you as well? And I don't know that there's any teenagers in here that are going to the San Francisco trip. If you are, man, stand and we'll pray for you as well. Most of them were in the first hour. Let's pray together. Lord, thank you for just a little picture of just some of the people who are engaging people from around the world in different capacities, different places. Lord, thank you that there are folks that have heard the call and that are responding to that. And there are others who are responding to that call right here in our own backyard with people that you've brought from around the world that now are located here. And so, God, whether these are heading out or staying here, would you lead us? Would you lead them? Would you empower them by your Holy Spirit? Would you give them all that they need to proclaim the gospel that will help usher in the kingdom and that will bring to completion this great commission that you've called us and tasked us with. Lord, we thank you. We love you. We lift up these team members to you and ask that you will bless them, ask that you will cover them, that you will lead and guide them and protect them. Make them obedient in every situation that comes before them so that your name and your renown might be the result to the ends of the earth. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Would you help me to thank these who've come and shared this morning with us? Thanks so much. You know, what all these people are investing their summer in, investing their lives in, by going and engaging in different places with different people to proclaim the gospel in word and in deed, it's called the Great Commission. I've referenced that. I've said that word now a few times. The Great Commission. It's what Jesus told his followers to be about during their days on earth. The Great Commission. Commissioned by Jesus to invest their lives while they're on this earth, proclaiming the gospel message to people in word and in deed so that everybody gets to hear. The Great Commission, how will we know it when it's fulfilled? When everybody on earth has had a chance to hear. And that's how we'll know. And then Jesus said, then the end's going to come. He wasn't kind of tricky in that or kind of smoke and mirror. He just said, hey, when everybody gets to hear, then the end's going to come. Then the end's going to come. One of my mentors, his name is Dr. Bob Roberts. He's a pastor in Keller, brilliant man. Taught me a ton about missions and what it means to be a part of the church that's unleashing its people to the ends of the earth. He was sharing this with me back in December, and we were talking about the Great Commission. We were talking about missions and talking about equipping our people that God's called us to lead and shepherd and to send them out. And he just said, you know, based on the data that he's seeing, so this isn't a hunch. This is data-driven. I'm kind of a data-driven guy. Based on the data that comes from trends of globalization, just the way that the world is becoming smaller and more connected, he said, based on those data trends, everybody should be able to hear the gospel in 10 to 12 years. 10 to 12 years. Based on the data that he is seeing in his research. And I just want Arapahoe Road to be known as a church that is a part of fulfilling the Great Commission. Now that makes my heart beat fast to think about that. Not just to kind of have some neat flags and a little different color up here, kind of a neat prop, but for that to represent people that we're engaging our life and our resources in. Not just paying so somebody else can go do the work. We're in it. We're in it. Man, I long for Arapahoe Road to just be known as a church that loves the whole world. The whole world. I want Arapahoe Road to be known as a church that is engaging lives in the lives of people around the world and in our own backyard with the gospel, both in word and in deed. Proclaiming and sharing and demonstrating the gospel. We've got a missions committee that has been formed in recent months. Our church voted at a business meeting to form a missions committee, and there's people that are gathering now, and they are putting in place some blocks to build on, and they are working towards a strategy for our whole church to have a real clear focus and a clear direction and a clear understanding that's going to unleash all of us to do what God's called us to do when it comes to missions. Are we ready for that yet to roll that? No. We're still working on it. So all the ideas that you have, keep them coming. We're just not quite ready to institute them all yet. Okay, it's going to take some time. You got to build the infrastructure if you're going to go on the road for the long haul. And we're going to do it right up front so that we can do it well for the long haul. But man, they're working. They're getting it together. They're coming around the table. And Brian Audia, who's an expert in that, who's been serving with us. We're going, who's Brian Audia? Check out our website. Click on the next 6 months. You can kind of get caught up to speed there. Brian, who's an expert in that, is leading that group and helping that group get out of the blocks really, really well. It's taking them down some different roads that need to be walked down so that they can have a really good understanding of what God is leading us towards. I'm so pumped about what God's doing in this church and what it's going to mean for the future. I long to pastor a church that is just unleashing people to proclaim the gospel in word and in deed to the whole world. I mean, that just fires me up to no end. It just really gets me going. And I had a conversation that's just been haunting me for about the last month. It was a conversation that I had with my son Jack. We were putting the kids to bed, Allison and I were, and we had already put Lucy down, kind of done the routine, story, prayers, the stall tactic, go get a drink, you know, that whole thing. So we'd done that. She was down, and we kind of tag-teamed and moved into Jack Rabbit's room. So we're in Jack's room. We're sitting there on the bed with him, and I was showing him on my phone because it was the first day that this first draft had come out. And so we're talking with him about what this means, and we're talking with him. You remember that, Jack? Remember when we were looking at that? Yeah. He was sitting in the middle. I was on this side. He was in the middle, Allison's on the other side, and we're just talking through, you know, trying to be a good dad, pointing his kids towards Christ and the gospel and what that means, and have a heart for the world. And he's just looking at it. He's going, oh, okay, so, and he's just thinking, so all these places, people from our church are somehow involved there, but he's not saying it. You know, how many of you had kids and you're talking to your kids in the past and you just see their minds going? You know what I'm talking about? Yeah, his mind's going. Would you just look at yours right quick so that everybody can kind of see where his eyes go to? He's looking at this picture. He's listening to what we're talking about. The first thing out of his mouth, what about the people who live there? That's Australia. For those of you that need to go back to geography class, right quick. What about the people who live there? Who's going to tell them about Jesus? So I kind of hitch up my daddy pants and my pastoral moment. Teachable moment for my kid. And I said, well, maybe God wants you to go there. Maybe someday he's going to want you to go tell the people who live in Australia about Jesus. And Allison kind of tag teams in and says, or God may want you to buy the house that's for sale next to mommy and daddy and just live right there. I mean, heck, on our street, there's Germans that live next to us, Brazilians across the street, and people from Egypt down the way. Why not just be a part of the United Nations on our street? Maybe so. I don't know. I do know this, God loves them all. He loves me. Somebody told me. Somebody came here to this nation and it trickled down to me. I'm so glad they didn't just stay in Jerusalem around the tree. I'm so glad that God allowed persecution to happen. Why? So that they would spread. God uses hard things in our life sometimes for his own purposes. Do you know that? Because he's got a bigger dream than our comfort in our little home where it's just us four and no more. It's going, nope. Wrong answer. This gospel of the kingdom is going to be proclaimed to all the nations so that everybody gets a chance to hear. And then the end will come. If it was just about us putting our faith and hope in Christ so that we could go live in heaven, we'd already be there. But we're not. He's got us here for a purpose. A great purpose. A commission. Not just a pretty good commission. A great commission. And he's invited you and he's invited me to be a part of it. Here's what I'd love for you to do over lunch today or throughout this week. Open your bulletin, if you would, to the inside where the sermon notes are. I want to just point you to some little table talk questions. I always try to put some questions in here so that you can dialogue with your family or friends over lunch or throughout the week, kind of carry the conversation forward. At the very bottom down here, would you just look at these four little bullet points? Let's just look at these for a second. What would it look like if you began to engage the world with the gospel? What would it look like if you, not these people, because we've seen what it looks like for them, what would it look like for you? How about this next one? What would it look like if every person in our church over the next 5 years participated in some kind of a mission trip in a foreign country or with people from a foreign country? How might that change the way our church engages the world and loves the whole world? How about this one? Who does God want you to engage with around the world? I know on my street. And there's some other people around the world too. See, somebody's calling from another part of the country right now. Don't you love that? When you're not the one. How about this last one? How will you be a part of fulfilling the Great Commission? Because men and women, can I tell you something? You're going to get asked about that when you stand before God someday. You are. It's not a threat. It's not anything to be scared about. It's a purpose to live into. It's why you're still here. It's why I'm still here. It's why we get to do what we're doing. It goes way beyond singing and studying. It goes into living and telling. And then the end will come. What part are you going to play in the Great Commission? Let's pray together. Lord Jesus, thanks for just being so radically clear and big in the purpose that you have for your people. I thank you that these flags represent people that you desperately love. And that you went to Calvary's cross and died for. Certainly, old glory's up there. But in reality, old glory is just one of many. I'm thankful that you placed me to live in this country with all the freedoms that we get to experience. But Lord, it's bigger than us. It's bigger than us. You've allowed us to live in a land of privilege and blessing. May we be good stewards of that others might know. Lord, I don't know what we need to do during this response time. The great thing about your Holy Spirit is that you meet us on an individual basis. And as far as an application to this message is concerned, you're fully capable, Holy Spirit, of leading each person to do what you're calling them to do. Maybe in these moments, it will be to stand and to sing with conviction, take my life and let it be. And that could just be a confession. For others in this room, it may be to go to one of these Lord's Supper stations and to partake of the bread and the cup and to remember the sacrifice that leads to our redemption and salvation. Maybe it's to use these altar steps to kneel and to lay our life down and to pray for a nation that you're putting on our heart, or to pray for a neighbor that's from another country, or to pray for a work a coworker that's from another country that we need to engage in because you're pressing in on us hard to do that. Lord, maybe you're nudging people this morning to come and join this church or to follow you in baptism or to give their heart to you in a way they've never done before. Man, I'd love the privilege of helping anybody with any of those decisions. Whatever you need for us to do, Lord, in these next moments, here we are. Take our lives. Let it be. And may we respond in whatever way you call us to in these moments. We pray these things in Jesus' holy name. And everybody said, why don't you stand and you just do what God leads you to do. I'll be here if you need me to help you.